these two gentlemen don't need a big introduction, because if you're a Hoops fan, you'll know both their names. Great to welcome, first of all, Ray Gordon, of course, a man who was inaugural member of the Tigers championship-winning team all the way back in 1993. Good to see you, Ray.
Thank you for having me. A long time ago.
How many years at the Tigers? How long was the career?
I was I played juniors at the Tigers, yep. But overall 14 years at the Tigers and 2 years playing with David at the Giants.
There you go. And speaking of the Giants, great to welcome in David Graham, who had a long career at the Giants, a few little stops along the way, Illawarra, the Magic, and also at the Supercats. But we're just talking off air, David. That's your fondest memories of playing with the North Melbourne Giants.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Thank you for having me today. Yeah, the Giants for about 8 years. I had a fantastic time. That's where my allegiance actually lies, with the Giants. Got a title back then, missed out on another one, but yeah, fantastic times.
Take us back, gents. We've had a few of the guys in. I was here a couple of weeks ago. We had Chris Anstey and Mark Bradke. And the basketball rivalry back then was pretty fierce. Well, now we had a few changes of names, the Giants and becoming the Magic and so forth. But gee, when we were getting, 15,000 to the tennis centre, the Giants were playing, of course, at the old Glasshouse. Back in the day as well. What are your fondest memories, Ray, when you think back to that era?
Yeah, the 90s. They were, we were pop stars back then, weren't we, Dave? We were living legends, and we still are, of course. But look, rivalry between the Tigers, the Giants, Perth, and obviously the Magic. They were, good times, good fun times.
Mm. David, what sort of springs to mind when you think about that era?
I think the biggest thing back then was that the basketball had found a niche, and it was a really strong niche. And I think the key to it then was that the majority of the players, Ray, myself, and a lot of the other of the best players in the league, we all played in Australia. We didn't play overseas. And I think that was a big part of how the media was able to assimilate with the players and with the clubs, and that really formed a lot of the rivalry, because they knew us from juniors. We were always in the country, we were always playing. We weren't playing in Europe or the NBA at that particular time, and that was a big part of it, I think.
But can you remember what that rivalry was like in terms of the build-up to a game? You're maybe 5 or 6 days out, you knew you were playing the crosstown rival. I imagine that added a natural bit of spice there, and the way you trained during the week, regardless of maybe ladder position and where you were. A bit like Carlton and Collingwood, one could be down the bottom, one might be up near the top. It's on for young and old.
Absolutely. Look, it adds to the mystique of the game, and obviously the motivation to perform. And David was at the Magic and the Giants, and I played against Dave as a junior. So, Dave's nickname was Angry, and he was an angry player, but an amazing representative of Australia.
If you look at him now, Ray, he's kicking back. He's almost going to fall off that chair.
Very, very relaxed. I've never seen him so relaxed. He must be very happy. But it adds to the motivation, and when you're playing in front of 15,000 people at the stadium, it's exciting, very exciting.
Because I think you're either a Tigers fan or you didn't like the Tigers. Is that how you would sort of describe it?
Well, look, I've done law since I retired, so I would argue that. I think, we were, the Tigers, very successful.
Yep.
The oldest club in Australia. And, we were competitive, and we'd like to win. So, hey, you hold it against us, but you know what? It's part of sport.
What did you think of the Tigers being, on the other side of the fence? Because they're an institution. The name Lindsay Gay is an institution who was there in the early days, put him on the map to start the NBL journey side of it. What was the perception of the Tigers, David, back then?
Yeah, well, as Ray said, I played against Ray as a junior, played against Andrew as a junior. We all came up with the same age. We went through from under 12 through all the state championships right up to, under 20, national sides and all that kind of thing. So we everybody knew each other really, really well. And I think I looked at it from a commercial point of view as well. We played at the Glasshouse on a Friday night, and we pitched that to get all the corporate crowd to come along. And so we were sort of inadvertently fighting for sponsorship dollars as well as crowd support and all those kind of things as well. TV coverage, space in newspapers and airtime on radio as well. So there was all those sort of things to consider. We probably didn't think too much of it at the time, because we were just interested in actually playing basketball and winning basketball games for our respective clubs. And it was really exciting. It was a hell of a lot of fun to play, particularly against one of the home, one of your the local sides, as opposed to the interstate teams, which are great as well. But there's always that something special about a bit of rivalry against the Melbourne Tigers to beat Ray, to beat Andrew, to beat Lindsay, and all of that, the family club that we used to call, Melbourne Tigers, whereas we were, our background was Coburg Giants, turned into North Melbourne Giants from a marketing perspective. And that rivalry was fantastic. It was a shame at the end, but had a lot of fun doing it.
Is there a match in particular that stands out when these two teams went head-to-head? That one that is sort of in your memory bank?
Oh, look, I think, losing when we lost to you guys, I think it was, 92 we lost to the Magic?
Yeah, Magic. Yes, in the semi-final. Was it the final?
I think it might have been the final.
I wasn't at the...
We are getting old, aren't we?
Yeah, no. I wasn't at the Magic at that particular time, so...
Well, I was at the Tigers, I remember, we lost and I cried for a week. I was very emotional and I love the Melbourne Tigers.
Yeah.
There is, Lindsay, Andrew, Margaret, that they are my family. I do get very emotional when I think about them, and to have grown up as a junior with the Melbourne Tigers and playing against Dave. And Dave was an amazing athlete. I really didn't like Dave as a junior. He was very good looking, and I was very skinny and ugly. So, Dave was, great athlete and a nice guy. And at the end of the day, when you're on that court, you have to compete and you have to win.
Where does the banter sort of extend to on the basketball court? I mean, if you go along as a fan, this is a great part about a sport like basketball. You can feel like you're riding the bumps right there. How fierce does that rivalry get when you're in the heat of battle and elbows might be flying?
Come on, Dave, don't be nice. Come on.
No, it really did. But I think probably from a local perspective, it wasn't anywhere near as intense from a sledging point of view, kind of put it in those terms, between guys that sort of knew each other growing up. There was sort of no point. I found that probably the overseas players that would come in, I always sort of, said to people, I'll never start the fight, but I'll partake in it if I get drawn into it. So that's sort of how I kind of viewed that. Ray was too fast to talk to him anyway. He was up and down the court that quickly that you haven't never had any time to actually have him stop and listen to any rubbish you were trying to feed him to put him off his game. Not much put Ray off his game.
But I spent most of the time on the bench, mate.
I mean, being a Melbourne Tigers man, as you've just described, with your absolutely relationship with the Gaze family through and through, if it had come to the scenario, Ray, where they said, we're going to ship you across town and go and play for the other mob, how would that have gone down?
Well, I actually had to leave the club earlier on and went to the Giants. Mm. I was obviously trying to study, trying to work, trying to play professional sport. I had to leave to get an income from the sport, and I did that. I had great fun at the Giants. I mean, I went back to the Tigers. I ported David's enthusiasm and love for the game and work ethic, and I took it back to the Tigers. And then with that, we recruited and the club became successful.
Yep.
So I've got to thank Dave for winning the championships, I suppose.
Well, I think we won it the year that Ray left back, so he picked a bad time to go back to the Tigers, unfortunately. But no, Ray brought a lot to our side as well. We were quite happy to sort of try to dismantle a little bit of the Tigers at the time by grabbing Ray. He was able to come across for a couple of years. But you
never spoke to me.
Well, we had Bruce Palmer as the coach at the time, and as you know, Bruce's his reputation preceded him. He was a pretty intense sort of unit, and really, our lineup, our pre-game plan for the Tigers was Andrew's going to get 35 anyway, so let's just make sure that we contain him.
Yep.
So the intensity needs to go out and stop Ray coming in off the bench or, when he was starting, and stop him getting 20, stop Nigel Purchase getting 20 or Dave Simmons, those sort of guys were around at the time. So it was always about containment of Andrew, but pick up your level of intensity to stop the rest of the guys from getting their normal.
Well, one thing we've sort of touched on the last 3 weeks doing this segment is we had Lindsay, who was an Australian icon institution when it comes to basketball. Then we had Bruce Palmer come in. Later, Brian Gorgian comes in, from that American background, a little bit of showmanship, a different type of coach pacing up and down the sidelines. I imagine just that in itself, that rivalry would have been interesting just off court, because Lindsay, probably everyone wanted to maybe, knock off Lindsay Gaze, being the premier coach in this country, and the international coaches coming in trying to prove their worth.
Well, look, I played with Brian. Brian actually came to the Melbourne Tigers.
Yeah.
He was a player and very intense individual. Then obviously went on to coach, but I never liked Brian at all at the Magic. I think he didn't like me either. He said I should be in a cage. I've gone on to do law, so you know what? I wasn't that dumb. But I think as an athlete, you want to win.
Yeah.
You're training extremely hard. I didn't like the Magic. I didn't like Perth Wildcats. Ricky Grace didn't. I really didn't like anybody.
No.
So at the end of the day, but you live and you learn. You retire, and I'm happy to see Dave today and And that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, just on the SMS, Ray, the way Ray played, I see similarities with Matthew Dellavedova. That's come through on the SMS.
I should have played in the NBA then, shouldn't I?
Would have been nice, Ray. Would have been nice.
Imagine the money.
Yeah,
not a bad compliment.
need to have gone and done law.
Absolutely. But no, look, Dele doing an amazing job, and just a great fighter. I watched him the other day, and he shoots it well and just hustles and just, hey, he's legit. He is legit. Probably should be paid a little bit more. I think it's on a 2-year deal for 2.6 or 2.8.
Something like that.
Yeah, not bad.
Still not bad day, though.
Yeah, not too bad.
Ray Gordon and David Graham are special guests. In fact, you can join the conversation anytime you like, 94291116, to pledge your allegiance and reflect back on that period in time. I talked about, what was possibly the best contest. Was there a moment, regardless of winning or losing, was there a moment that really defined the rivalry that you can think back? I know it's a hell of a long time ago, that sort of thought, this is a real genuine rivalry, this.
For me, it was Perth Wildcats. When we won the title in 93, the first title that the Tigers won, we won the first game and then went over to Perth for the second game. And I remember walking through the mall with Andrew, and we were stuck over there for 3 days. Obviously, played the second game and then the third game. And I remember walking through the mall, and one of the spruikers in the mall was spruiking something, and he said, even half price for losers today. So, when you're sitting in a hotel room with Andrew, who wasn't the most exciting roommate to have, but, and having to wait for that third game, and then we did manage to win, and it was just incredible. But Perth Wildcats, Ricky Grace was one of my rivals, and I had to guard him and contain him. But, Magic and Perth were my biggest dislikes. I didn't like the Magic with the pretty boys.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were the working class Melbourne Tigers and Labour, and I grew up in Broadmeadows, so obviously in the working class club and the family club. But it was interesting.
What about for yourself?
There was a lot of rivalries there. I think the sport was so intense. We sort of just looked at every single team, and we were just viciously out there to beat whoever it was that came up against us. The local clubs, absolutely. We were a little bit like that with Magic as well. They sort of had a different style of game and a bit more razzmatazz to how they sort of wanted to operate, and we were sort of a bit more down to earth, we felt anyway, and marketed ourselves that way and played that way. I think we were the back to work giants at one particular stage when we were sponsored by WorkSafe. But we had some great rivalries against a lot of teams, including Canberra. That was probably our biggest over a couple of years there. We won a title in 89 and lost to them in 88 just prior. Some massive rivals with Phil Smythe at the point there, and Tad Dufelmeyer. There was all sorts of fights, I guess you'd probably want to nail it down to on court with particularly Dufelmeyer. Fisher was involved, Tim Dillon from our side as well. So they got us in 88 in best of three in the grand final. We lost here in the third game on the Sunday to them by a couple of points, and then we reversed it the following year. So Perth was another big one as well, with Grace and Tiny Pinder at the time. Bruton, Vlahoff, so it was pretty intense.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll come back because Ray and David are going to stick around as we look back on the rivalry, certainly Melbourne-based here, but also as an extension right across the league, and talk about the future of the NBL and whether we can get two Melbourne teams back up against each other, because we'd love to see that rivalry come back. We're, of course, talking to Ray Gordon and David Graham. Your calls as well, 94291116, right here on Melbourne's Home of Sport. 25 past one, it's our rivalry segment. Great to have Ray Gordon, long career with the Melbourne Tigers, and David Graham, a long career in the NBL as well, and majority of that spent with the North Melbourne Giants. So crosstown rivals back in the, I suppose we do refer to them as the halcyon days, Ray, of the NBL, although there are really good signs at the 2015-16 version on the back of a lot of change at the top, and Larry Kestelman taking some ownership of the NBL, the marketing. It's sort of been one positive press release after another. All the games live on TV at the moment. Whether we can get back to the days of the 90s, still a bit to be played out, but there seems to be some really positive steps over the last few months.
Absolutely. I think the NBL's got it right. Larry's doing an amazing job. Whether you love or hate Larry, I think he's putting a lot of money into the sport. I've spoken to Larry personally, and I do support him. We need to. Everyone needs to put their shields and swords down and just come together for the sake of basketball. That would be a good thing.
So. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it looks like they're on the way up. I mean, the crowds that they've been getting. I think the last game of last season for the Melbourne United, they were beaten. I think they had about 10,000 in it. In town here at I'm not sure which stadium.
High Sense
Arena.
Yeah, or Margaret Court, one of the two.
And I think they've been averaging sort of fives and six and sevens so far this year, which is really, really positive for them. So they're very aggressive with their marketing. They need to be. But Ray's right. People have got to put down their idiosyncrasies and just say, righto, well, do we want to support a team in Melbourne from a basketball point of view and come and have a look?
That was a big word, Dave. What was...
Well,
can you spell that?
I want Ray to say it as well.
Idiosyncrasies?
God, yeah. Beautiful. There you go.
But I also think there's probably room for a second team. I mean, that's sort of been bubbling away for a little while now. And, what have we got, eight teams in the league at the moment? There probably needs to be back around that sort of 10 as a minimum for it to be a real, really strong national league. Another one in Melbourne, probably another one in Sydney can support that. And perhaps, they're starting Brisbane next season, I think, which
Correct.
Is great to get the Brisbane Bullets back online. I don't know if they'll be called the Bullets, but that's really important for the league to have them back in the league.
Where's it to sit, Ray, from a Melbourne Tigers point of view? I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are still in disbelief that the Tigers don't exist, considering their long and prestigious history. And, I mean, if I listen to Andrew Gaze on our morning show each day and other people, Nigel Purchase, who comes on the station and covers basketball, there are a lot of people who'd love to try and get it back. How feasible is that? I mean, what are you hearing?
It's very feasible. I've had discussions with a number of people. I think the entity itself, the Melbourne Tigers, could be started as a second team quite easily. The absorbing of all these other teams that weren't in existence, that argument for me, I don't understand that argument. I support Larry in what he's done with the league and marketing and amazing. He's a very smart guy, However, the Junior Melbourne program is still in existence and it just needs, it's amazing what happens when you sit down with people and you have an open, collaborative approach to what you want to achieve. And a second team in Melbourne would be an amazing thing. A second team in Sydney would be a great thing. So a Melbourne Tigers team, a new entity or a porting of a junior program to a new second entity is very logical and very achievable.
Yep.
Very cheap.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it, Dave? I mean, if the NBL is going to flourish in the two biggest cities in particular,
yep.
Melbourne and Sydney,
yep.
We need to have two teams.
Well, absolutely. And if you look at the support of the sport in this state, it absolutely should carry a second team as a minimum. And when we were playing in the 80s and 90s, there was three teams. Four at one point, I think, there when Frankston were involved as well. So.
Five, actually.
If you include Geelong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. So there was,
Are they in Victoria? Are they?
Yeah, well, they are. They're probably getting close to being a suburb now. But at the end of the day, that just shows you the support of basketball. I mean, out in the southeast, it's massive the amount of people that play the sport and are interested in the sport, whether it be from a spectator point of view or playing it. So unquestionably, when you do the research and those that are putting together groups to try to find support to put in another NBL team know where that support is down in the southeast. It's absolutely feasible. It's about money and support, and if that can be brought about, and Larry's done a great job doing what the league needed it. The league would have probably been dead if he didn't jump in.
David,
absolutely.
You probably get me onto a point, and I suppose we try and focus on this programming and give women's sport certainly some airtime, because I've been involved in the WNBL and done WNBL radio over the years and got to know quite a few of the girls. And, I've seen women's cricket get better status. We're seeing the W League now get better status. There's other women's sports that are certainly rising. I mean, any time I think when you've got men and women playing the same sport, the women tend to be put in the shadow down here. Can we ever get to a stage, do you think, where the WNBL could have some... I think it's a great competition, but to me it's still not being put where it should be. Mm. When I see 10,000 people watching netball, 12,000 in Perth on Friday night, 10,000 here at High Sense watching the Diamonds, and that's where the WNBL, I think, should be. Can we ever get to that stage, do you think?
Look, absolutely. I think it's possible. A hell of a lot of work is being done right now by Basketball Australia to make sure that does happen. There's a lot more to go, though. Basketball has been fractured for a long, long time in this country, right around the country in all the different states, through various different groups, not letting go of what's important to them and, not sort of giving up, not wanting to give up any ground. unfortunate because there's still a lot of old school amateur administrators around. Love them, need them, but it needs to become a lot more professional in terms of how they approach and with their attitude to moving the sport forward. If those sort of fractures can be mended, and that's what Anthony Moore, CEO of Basketball Australia, is trying to do. Paul Maley, new general manager of the Women's National League, a lot of work for them to do. And it's an uphill battle, but it, when you look at netball, it's a great example. You couldn't look at a better run sport. They do it beautifully sponsorship-wise. They're on television. They get great crowds. It's strictly administered. And basketball certainly has the ability to do that with probably twice as many people playing the sport. So it's not impossible, but a lot more work and a lot more smart people need to get involved at a professional level to you know, get it to that next step.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of water to go under the bridge. Just one last one for both of you. When you finished playing, was it easy just to step away and not be a competitor? Because most sports people tend to take some time to get used to not having the juices flowing every week, adrenaline rush.
I announced my retirement the year at the start of the season in my last year.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? I'll do it on my terms. And I had the best year of my life in the last year. It was relaxing, it was fun, and it was time to move on and let the new breed come through. That's what needs to happen in life.
Yeah, no, I finished a little bit differently to Ray in that, I played a season and was perhaps wanting to go a little bit longer, but then decided
couldn't let go.
Well, couldn't let go. Yeah, but at the end of the day, you talk about competitiveness. I think I played one game in my life since then, and I hated every bit of it simply because your competitive urges are there. But basketball is a sport of touches. It's a sport of millimeters, and for me, it took a lot of training and effort to get all of that perfectly right. And you only need 3 weeks away from the sport and you don't have your touch anymore, your heart and your soul and you're mentally still into it. But if you can't nail a shot or do what you normally do just through touch, then it used to drive me crazy. So one game, that was it. Probably won't play again.
We're not all Andrew Gazers, that iconic individual that has the spatial brain to deal with the game.
I enjoy playing with little Tommy though. He's good on the basketball court.
Did you win? Oh,
you usually get me. You actually got me on Friday night. I couldn't believe it.
He's looking at Dad saying, I've got your measure. Don't worry about that. Thank you, guys. Great to walk down memory lane for a little bit. And let's hope the NBL keeps going upward and forward. And hopefully it's sustainable.
It will.
Now,
it will.
Under Larry Kestelman and co. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you and David Graham as well.
Good on you, Brett. Thanks.